Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
888-808-1019 is your number to call. Dove Pete across the way. Malvern, we go. Kick it off the 1 o'clock hour. It's Sonny. What's going on, Sonny?
Hey, Moose. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, as you always. Got it, Sonny. Thanks for making the call. What's on your mind, bud?
Thanks. Four quick things. First of all, I love Phillip Rivers. Always have. I love his competitiveness. It's amazing that he's able to get the ball to his receivers with that technique he has, that form, that shot put. You know, for him, like Boldinger said. I mean, I know he can't throw the ball 40 yards down the field anymore, but just the fact that he still can throw the out pass and the seam route is unbelievable if you think about it. It's so weird, his technique.
Oh, it's fun to watch. I mean, yeah. It just is. I mean, to watch a guy step off, and, you know, he's got grandkids, coaching high school football, retired 5 years to step in, and even to be able to hold up physically for two games, it's just great. And I do miss him. I miss his fieriness, his feistiness, the trash talk, he was just a fun player to watch when he was in his prime with the Chargers.
It's amazing if the things were flipped, if he stayed with the Chargers and he went to the Giants. It's interesting, that you'll never know. Anyway, as far as the Jets, listen, Moose, I really think that, I'm a Giant fan, but Jets I like also. I think the Jets would be better suited not giving up so much draft capital and waiting and picking Simpson. Simpson, as you know, I'm an Alabama guy. I think Simpson is just as good, if not better, than Mendoza. Mendoza is not, Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning coming out of college. I mean, he's not the greatest, quarterback to win the Heisman here. And I think that would be the wise choice. Simpson can make every throw. He can make that great intermediate throw, which is behind the linebacker in front of the safety. He changes and makes adjustments pre-snap at the line of scrimmage, which I don't see Mendoza doing. I think that'd be the better.
Well, it just depends on my evaluation of Mendoza. That's where,
Do you like him? Do you like him?
I do. I think you need to see a little bit more.
I don't love the guy. Don't love him.
No, I get it. I do. But I think it depends on what for all these teams, you don't convince yourself about a quarterback. The quarterback convinces you. I understand you're in a position of need. If you don't love Mendoza, then I agree with you. You punt. You live to fight another day. Or you do what... Connor Hughes talked about on SNY, a couple of days ago, where, you draft a guy in the second or third round, give that individual an opportunity, and then see exactly what you have for a year. If not, and it doesn't work, they prove that individual proves that they're not the answer, then you address the quarterback position in the next draft. So it really depends on, you got to let the scouting kind of lead the way. And you got to see exactly what you feel as an organization, and you can't fall into the trap of drafting a quarterback or convincing yourself about a quarterback because you need a quarterback. The quarterback has got to lead the way as a prospect.
I agree. And if they do that homework, like I said before, I think Simpson's the guy. Anyway, two other things really quick. The Giants, I think the problem with the Giants coaching search is that perfect coach that me and you are looking for, most Giant fans are not there, disciplinarian and the winning percentage resume. And the last thing is Purdy. Do you think it's fair that the criticism he gets for being a system quarterback, do you think he would be able to be a good quarterback, saying at Buffalo or Chicago, where those quarterbacks are basically, seems like they're doing everything, Josh Allen, Caleb Williams?
Well, I just think they're different quarterbacks. Was Joe Montana a West Coast Bill Walsh system quarterback?
Yeah, of course, Joe Montana. They put him into that.
It worked, right? Perfect. Didn't have the biggest arm in the world. It worked. And Montana, obviously, 4-0 in Super Bowls. And, before Brady was the greatest quarterback of all time, right? So I know there's the inherent knock when you're looking at Brock Purdy because then you're limiting him. you know, is he physically as gifted as Josh Allen? Is he physically as gifted as Patrick Mahomes? No, but you can win. I mean, ultimately, that. I mean, his pass last night, I think it was his fourth touchdown pass of the night to Juwan Jennings, where he recognized that Christian McCaffrey was bracketed in coverage, and that's where he was going to go with the football, and then threw a beautiful pass over the shoulder for the touchdown, front corner, right end zone. It was a thing of beauty. I mean, it just was. So, like, people, like, we all get into the NFL draft and scouting quarterbacks and looking at quarterbacks, and people are like, well, how could he be this good and, you know, be drafted where he was coming out of Iowa State? Well, it happens. And sometimes guys go out there and slip through the cracks, and it is to his great benefit that he also landed with the coaching staff that has a great understanding of how to handle quarterbacks and put those quarterbacks in a position to be successful. Not putting them in a position to fail. So there are attributes to Purdy. Throws a very catchable football, remarkably accurate. When he needs to run, he can do so. He's not as athletically gifted as a number of quarterbacks in the National Football League, but doesn't mean it. You know, can he go out there and throw through a 30-mile-an-hour wind? No. I mean, there are limitations to what he can do, but ultimately you win. And, you know, if you're a quarterback looking to kind of find yourself once again, the place to go would be the backup quarterback in San Francisco. Or be the backup quarterback in Minnesota. Like one of those two. I mean, but if you're the backup quarterback in the Minnesota, you might eventually be the starting quarterback because of where McCarthy is in his development. But those are two programs you want to learn because you want to learn from it. Daniel Jones talked about it was just a night and day difference in terms of the work off the field when he got to Minnesota as compared to, and I understand people are going to look at it as a knock on the Giants, but you know, did his due diligence, and he needed a change of scenery. And then put himself in a spot this year where he initially had success, knew he was going to beat out Anthony Richardson, didn't know, but had a good chance of beating out Anthony Richardson due to some of the limitations there in his development as a quarterback, and landed with Steichen before he ruptured his Achilles, was having, you know, a good year. Had taken a step back previous 3 weeks, but, you know, was resurgent and had a great nickname, Indiana Jones. Harvey, Dix Hill's up next to the fan. What's going on, Harvey?
Hi, Mark. How are you? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Harvey. What's on your mind, buddy?
Nothing much. A few things. I want to talk about Jackson Dart. You were absolutely right about Justin Fields. Do you remember that? You said you didn't like him, and 100%. But I was 100% on Jackson Dart, okay? And he's exactly what he was at Mississippi. I believe that he is the best of the rookie quarterbacks, as it turns out. I'm very happy about that, as you absolutely know. Everybody wanted to trade up to all their draft capital to get Cam Ward, and even though I think Cam Ward's going to be a good quarterback, I just hope the Giants don't ruin him. You know, it's a bad team, and which leads me to, who is his tutor, by the way, do you know now? You know, I'm not fond of firing coaches in mid-year, by the way. You asked me once, would you fire Shane or Dable? And I said, I would rather fire Shane than Dable. And Dable was his mentor. Does he have a mentor now, do you know?
Does Jackson Dart have a mentor?
Yes. Who was the quarterback?
Well, I think Jameis Winston. I think the quarterback coaches play a role.
He's using him as his mentor? Okay, I hope so. He needs one. In any case,
well, Russell Wilson, Winston. I mean, I think, but Dart's talked about that. I'm not breaking any news. He's talked about the veterans in that quarterback room.
Oh, that's someone. Okay, that's great. That's really great. The other thing is one of the problems. Your kids play sports. I know they do. Okay,
yeah.
I don't think they play football.
No.
But the what I told Tiki on the post game show, the Giants, you know what I resent are NFL receivers dropping catchable balls. Okay, and I go back to my junior high days in seventh grade. They put a rubber band around my hand. This is how you secure the ball. They catch with their bodies. It doesn't matter whether it's Theo Johnson or Slayton, incredibly, even Robinson. That's affected Dart. A lot of balls that should have been caught, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. Yeah, it's frustrating.
Very frustrating.
You know, but Darius Slayton had an issue with his hands coming out of Auburn.
Absolutely.
Didn't initially, and he's got an issue now in the National Football League. You look at Theo Johnson, the one on Sunday, he didn't want to get hit.
I think so. Really? No kidding. Wow.
Well, look at, I mean, he gave you a little alligator arms, as they would say, with the safety coming over. So, you know, but Dart's been done in by drops with Theo Johnson as well. So I don't, I don't disagree. He's an athletic freak at 6'6". There's no doubt. Can play the position at tight end. There's a lot to like about him. But he's got to get his hands in order.
I'll teach him how to catch a ball. I mean, as I told you, I learned that in seventh grade, for God's sake. We don't have the skills that they have. And the other thing about safety in football.
Now, what did you do in seventh grade? You wrapped rubber bands around your hands?
Yeah, he put a rubber band around my wrist and said, this is how you secure a ball. You secure first before you run. You do not run and then secure the ball. And that's a technique I learned. I don't remember ever dropping a ball, Mark. I really don't.
Never. Yeah. Your entire football career, you never dropped a football?
I'm sure I did, but I don't want to remember it, Mark. As a matter of fact, if we did, my coach gave us laps. I told that to Tiki. I said he'd give us 10 laps, and he said, oh, they give you more. But anyway, safety in football. You know, I was the first to talk about upgraded football helmets. It was got to be 20 years ago in the CT when CTE was starting. And the bottom line is that there was a Zenith and the Revolutionary helmet, I remember. And that now, for example, they have Guardian caps that they're using in kids. And I don't understand why. And I read the data, and it's kind of sketchy, but there is some evidence that it can decrease concussions. You know, Tiki thinks that it's the matter of how they're tackled, et cetera, et cetera. But it's so cheap. It's like $80 on Amazon. And I don't know why the NFL doesn't go mandate these things, because there is some evidence that it does decrease concussions, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Harvey, and I don't know about that evidence. I believe you. I'll believe you when you say, I'll believe you, having being in the medical field, being the doctor that you are, that is indeed the case. I can't tell you why the NFL doesn't mandate it across the sport. And guys have, some have chosen to wear it, some have not, in terms of the Guardian caps. But, it's unfortunately, when you look at the NFL, it's inherently violent. The helmets, in terms of the structure of the helmet, not necessarily changing, and concussions, unfortunately, are not going to go away. The now, in terms of the proactive moves for the National Football League, is how do you handle players? And we've seen that significantly changed to the positive in a good way over the last 5 to 10 years. Justin in Dobbs Ferry is up next in the fan. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, what's going on? Just looking at over these next 2 weeks with the Raiders, played well against the Houston Texans. And if the Giants lose to them, do you see a scenario where Dallas last week of the season, Dallas just like puts in the backups, puts in the scrubs, screwed the Giants out of the first pick?
We're getting to the last week. I mean, it might not matter. I mean, Justin, Geno Smith, I asked Pete who's starting this week. It's going to be Geno Smith back at quarterback for the Raiders. So maybe they give you another.
Oh, they should be favored. They scored 3 touchdowns against against the Texans, which is the best defense in the league. The Giants couldn't even get 33 yards. If you're going to play like that, like Dart, just put Russell Wilson in and do what he does best is lose for us.
So you're concerned that the Giants, so you're in the camp of I'm rooting for the team to lose.
Oh, 100%. I want them to score 30 points and lose. And what's the point of winning 2 games and going down to the 7th pick right now?
Right. If the Giants are in a position going into that last week against Dallas, you're concerned that the Cowboys then would have the reverse revenge on the Giants, bench everybody, and the Giants find a way to win.
Yep, 100%.
Like
they did against the Eagles like two years ago. I mean,
who was the quarterback? Nate Sudfeld that started for the Eagles. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like a scenario where if I was the Giants and then the Dallas was there, I wouldn't want to do everything to help them get the first pick. Would you?
No, I get it, Justin. I don't know if I understand the concern, and the Giant fan is I've lived through it. I've dealt with it for the better part of 4 months here. Just finish it off, right? I mean, and it's been a lot of losing. They're riding another 9-game losing streak. They're in place to have the number one overall pick. At least let there be some benefit to this year of Giant football, where you end up with the number one overall pick, and then you hope about 5 teams fall in love with Mendoza, and then you mortgage that number one pick for more picks. Because like I say, nobody likes draft capital more than the NFL fan. 117, Malusis with you, 888-808-1019. The show is brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Angel in the Bronx is up next on the Fan. What's going on, Angel?
How you doing, Mr. Malusis? Good afternoon.
Oh, Mr. Malusis, that's my dad, Angel. You call me Mark. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Sorry, sir. I try to be respectful as all. I wanted to talk about the Jets. Football's not like my most knowledgeable sport, but I do love the Jets. I always have. My favorite color is green, so naturally, I ran with the Jets. But aside all that, I wanted to bring up a concern I have. Let's say we do get the quarterback of our dreams. It could be Fernando Mendoza. It could be whoever, really. My concern is, does it even matter if we're going to throw that kid as soon as week one happens next season? Because that's what happened with Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson. Correct me if I'm wrong. And they didn't really pan out well until Sam went somewhere else and Zach hasn't really gotten the burn, so he can't really.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the player, Angel. I think it depends on the player. I think it depends on what you're self-scouting. The Giants obviously drafted Dart, didn't have him start right away. Pressure on Dable to try and win and show a little bit of life after what you saw from Russell Wilson, and then you saw Dart early on in the regular season. I don't think you can go out there and paint it in one light and say, well, if you go out and get Mendoza, definitively he's going to be starting week one. I think you'd like it because you'd like to start that maturation process as quickly as possible. I learned a little something when I stepped out into the newsroom during the course of the break. Number one, does Marash is in town, right? And he's got the show coming up after this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's in town. He's in the studio. Does Lou Gower eat like that every meal? Like the food is going to run away from him?
Yeah, he inhales very quickly. Lou Gower was sneakily the biggest pig of the four of us on the show.
Like, it was almost I was trying to have a conversation with Tommy and Sean, and Lou Gower's eating a salad, and he's shoveling it in.
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, the salad is going to run away from him.
No breath, ever.
Like, ever.
Ever.
Like, dressing down the cheek.
Ever.
This and that, like, doesn't wipe the cheek, none of that. Like, and ever. I was just like, wow, that's... And I'm a quick eater. I'm a quick eater. My kids make fun of me. I eat very, very fast. So I learned a little something about Lou Gower. I've never seen him eat like that. And he eats insanely quick.
He is, he's by nature very nervous that something's about to happen. And he always thinks basically like a bomb is going to go off here. And he's not going to have a chance to eat if he doesn't get it done right that second. It's a very paranoid lifestyle he lives.
It's great. And you know, barely. And then the quick, short responses to answers as he's shoveling in the food.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I learned, I asked you the question because, you know, I used to, when I was with Chris and Mike and whatever, we'd used to, around the holidays, they'd always be a time where you exchange gifts.
Yeah.
So I asked Sean and Tommy, I go, so when did you guys exchange gifts? I know Evan's on vacation now.
Yes.
Did you guys do a little Kris Kringle? Were there any gifts exchanged? Anyone pull names out of the hat? And your answer was what?
No, we have never done one as a show.
Why
ever.
Is that?
So, again, I came over here. I just was going to go with the flow. But I think what we've learned is Evan is just, he sucks as a real human being. So, and I don't mean that like he's a bad person.
How else would you take that?
I would mean that like.
What do you mean? He's a good guy.
No, he's a great guy. But when it comes to Christmas or holiday gift giving, Moose, you need to trust that everybody in the room is a functioning adult human being. So if you drew or Evan drew you as a gift giver Evan's idea of a gift is, let me go in my garage or attic and pick through the trash that I don't want anymore and give that to you. He'll spend $1 million on season tickets. He'll invite you to a million games. But when
very
it comes
generous.
To, very generous, but like to actually give a gift, like for him to put it in his mind, hey, maybe this guy would like this. He's not going to be a functioning adult.
Now, was that ever brought up as an option of doing gift giving?
No, I think it was one of those things. Evan's the quarterback of the team, and I think me, Tiki, and Lugau were kind of just all looked at Evan and realized, we don't want to do gifts.
Right, I got enough pressure.
Exactly.
I got enough pressure during the holidays, getting gifts and everything like that.
Tiki's going to give a great gift. I know I will give a great gift. Lugau is the ultimate cheapskate. Like, his heart will be in the right place, but he'll find, like, the version that's 90% cheaper of what he should be getting. But, Evan, you can't trust the Moose. He's not
like
a real person.
Like, he'll get the mock iPods.
Exactly. You want Oreos, he's getting you Hydrox. You want a Coca-Cola, he's getting you the RC Cola.
Right.
That's exactly the Lugau.
Not getting you the Twizzlers, he's getting you the Red Stripes.
Exactly.
Right.
Lugau is a big family dollar guy.
All right, can I ask you, what is the biggest example from Evan in terms of him, as you described it, digging through his trash and giving you as a gift, and giving you a gift?
I'll give you a perfect one. Just last week, Evan, as we're cleaning out offices here, we're trying to get some construction done, Evan said, I got a great gift you can give your kids. I was like, oh, great.
Nice. He said, scratch one off the list.
He goes, how about you take this knock hockey set I have in my office? So I went to look at it. Moose, the thing is crumbled on one side. There's only one net. Like, you can't...
That's not going to work.
You can't score. And I said, I can't bring this home to my kids. And he thought, and I quote was, this would be a great gift to give your kids. Could you imagine your kids? Your kids are big hockey fans.
Yeah, no.
No. So that's one thing. He wanted to give me his trash
they'd
and sell
like,
it to my kids.
They'd be like, who used this?
Exactly.
Where did you find this?
Now, he did give me a really cool gift from his parents' attic, which is like a light-up Budweiser Yankee sign from the 90s that goes at my bar. Cool gift. But yeah. Again... Didn't buy it. Went through the trash.
But it's a garbage cool, and it's a neon sign.
Neon sign. Very
is it
cool.
In
lights
the,
up.
Is it in the Sean Barr area by the pool?
Oh, yeah. It lights up at night.
Oh, it lights up. It's
big
beautiful.
Yankee night game. We pull that string.
And it has the Yankee
up.
Insignia on it? It's like the old school Budweiser
yep,
one.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
The
that's
glove catching a ball.
It's oh, my. That is.
Moose. It's gorgeous.
If you threw that up on eBay, you'd get thousands of dollars
I
for
know.
That. I mean, that is an amazing gift.
But it's a rarity. Like, Evan basically, oh, here's a crumbled Ty Domi card. Do you want this?
I'm surprised. Like, I would have sold that. I've sold things.
Well,
people have talked about that on Facebook Marketplace.
Listen, I mean, had I gotten some other news in the last 2 weeks, maybe I would have sold it. But I'm here to stay for now. I'm here to stay.
That's a good line.
Yeah. Maybe I'll leave on that high
congratulations.
Note.
Congratulations.
Right, thanks, Moose.
You know, Sean, good job. Let's head out to Reading. It's Tony. It's the fan. What's going on, Tony?
That was funny, Moose. That was funny. Hey, listen, if I hear one more Giants fan cough and say, and I also like the Jets, I'm going to smash my car through the wall. But anyway, Moose, I hope you're having a good holiday season.
Yeah.
Kids are doing well in hockey. I just got a question for you, man. Dude, all these teams now that are moving in domes, I don't know about you, but I love weather games with football. You know, we watched the Bear game this weekend with the wind. The kickers were kicking the ball right so that the ball will go left. You know, remember the Leon Lett game, Thanksgiving, where he slid in the snow and the ball bounced around and the Cowboys lost. I mean, the whole NFL is dripping with weather games, right? So now we got the Browns are going to move into a shed. We got the Titans moving into a dome. We got the Jags putting a dome on their building. We got the Bears, the Monsters of the Midway. They're going to be moving somewhere. Indiana now they're talking about, and they're going to play in a dome. The Chiefs are going to leave Arrowhead instead of renovating it, and they're going to go into a freaking dome. You got the Washington Communists. They're moving. Your old team. They're going to move into a dome.
Yeah.
And now the Eagles. And now the freaking Eagles are talking about, you know, if they don't renovate the link, they're going to move into a dome if they can. Also, they could have one Super Bowl every 15 years in the Final Four. I mean, the whole NFL is
going
to be playing indoors.
I mean, Tony, while you hit upon it, why is it?
Well, I understand the ramifications
events.
Of year-round.
You're going to get a Super Bowl, right? You're going to get a Super Bowl in all those sites.
Right, but 99% of those season ticket holders and those fans that enjoy outdoor football the way it's meant to be, are never going to go to those games anyway. So, yes, I understand the economic reasoning, but the whole NFL is going to be every single dome now. I just watched the Chiefs one. They showed, like, what the Chiefs arena stadium is going to look like. It looks like the Raiders stadium. It looks like the Titans stadium. They're all going to be cookie cutter. I mean, it's gross what's going on with the NFL now.
No, Tony, I like weather games. I like seeing the snow. I liked watching Burrow and I like watching Josh Allen in the snow up there in Buffalo. I like watching the wind and the cold out there in Chicago. I like all of that, right? So, you know, but let's also, we're in a marketplace here where, you know, the Jets and Giants have been criticized and ripped for not putting a dome on MetLife Stadium, right? And not having the extra expenditure, even though they got a Super Bowl and it was the first cold weather Super Bowl, an outdoor Super Bowl in the history of the game, right? But that they limited themselves given the nature of getting Final Fours. But that's why all these teams are doing it and all these organizations are doing it. Number one, you want to keep up with the Joneses. Number two is you're going to get a Super Bowl. Number three is you open up the idea to other events. And you mentioned one of them specifically being the NCAA tournament and Final Fours and regionals and all of that stuff. I mean, that comes along with it. Now, is it going to be different? Yeah, it's going to be different. I do like when elements... Listen, nobody wants to watch a game in which there are 30, 40-mile-an-hour winds. And really, when you look at it, that's the... Unless you're playing in a blizzard, like the Lions and... Remember the game where McCoy for the Eagles? Lions and Eagles down at the Link, and I'm going back maybe 8-9 years ago. Those weather conditions, that's a different story. Where there's like 5 or 6 inches of snow, you can't clear the field quick enough because the snow is building because the storm. But it's not really snow. It's not really rain. It's really the wind that affects teams more often than not. But, yeah, is it going to be a different look for the NFL? No doubt. You know why the motivation is, ultimately, the motivation for every owner in the National Football League. Money! Let's head out to Bayshore. It's Chris. What's going on, Chris?
Moose, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Now, listen, I love to talk. I love the hockey talk, and you guys have a great trip. Anytime you take a trip with the kids and sports, it's always awesome and great memories forever. But I had a couple of hockey points. One on the state of the game today with youth and also with the Rangers. So I just wanted to ask you, I mean, I have a very close family member who plays, and the sticks now are like, you know, when I stopped playing, it was like aluminum shafts. You get a new blade, you put it in for $20 with a hairdryer. Now, every stick is $400 and it's just one piece. Is that how it is?
That is true. It's not $400, but you're not wrong in terms of the price. It's running anywhere from like, you know, $175. You know, you might be able to get last year's model when a new model comes out on sale, but anywhere from, and not much changes from one year to the other. Maybe go back 2-3 years, then there's a significant difference. So, yeah, I mean, okay. It's like anywhere from like $175 to $325, $350. You can get specialized okay. sticks and everything like that. So, you know, are we in that realm as parents? No, we're not doing that. And then you have to get the, you know, two of my kids are lefties, one's a righty. You have to deal with the curvature of the stick, a P28 or a P92.
Yeah.
Obviously the length of the stick, the way that you tape the blade, is it a full, you know, full tape job or you're not doing it? Is it just, you know, 3/4 of it? So there's a lot that goes along to it, but it's fun. I mean, you know, Chris, I enjoy it. You know, youth hockey can be, I would say, you know, there's drama that comes along with everything. There really is, just like in youth sports now, and it's completely different, whatever sport you play, as compared to when I was growing up.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. But I also had one quick Ranger question. I know that that you're a big Ranger guy, as I am. It seems more and more certain that, obviously, Panarin's the best offensive player you have, but you're probably going to look to move him and to kind of add to this overhaul that they're doing. I mean, what do you think the return on him would be in this climate, maybe a month from now or so, and what do you think that they might look to get back?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it's expected to be, Chris, from my understanding, a pretty good top part of the NHL draft coming up. So I would imagine whatever contending team you're looking at trying to accrue a first round draft choice. Along with other assets. Correct me if I'm wrong, I do believe Panarin does have a no-movement clause that was part of the contract when he initially came here to the Rangers, when he was signed by John Davidson and the like. So that's something that you'd have to appease with him and put him in a spot where he would want to go. But, yeah, when you look at the complexion of this Ranger team, we hit upon it a little bit last week when I filled in and did the midday show for Brandon. The Rangers, unfortunately, the window, you hit a spot where the window closes on the group. It has closed. You've got a lot of the same guy now, Chris, when you look at a lot of grinders. I'm not telling you that those guys don't have roles on teams. They're more fourth liners than anything else. The offensive impact that they once did have on this team and the cavalcade of stars, those guys are long gone. And this organization failed in a lot of different ways in terms of you know, in some of their first-round draft choices, the lack of development in those first-round draft choices, how the organization handled those players. To go along with, I think, Drury being short-sighted in some of the deals that he did make, trying to put this team over the top. So now you're in a process here where you look at this team, there are limitations to what they can do, and unfortunately you've seen a number of those limitations offensively. It used to be a case where you looked at the Rangers, good on the penalty kill, brilliant goaltending with the Shesterkin, very good on the power play, but the concern you'd have about the Rangers come playoff time was their ability to generate consistent offense and being able to score goals in five-on-five hockey. I wish we were signing up for those days now, because right now you struggle to score goals consistently. But that's the state of where the Rangers are right now, and unfortunately that group that you thought was, and not just thought, you know, when James Dolan got rid of Davidson and Gorton because he was told by other owners around the National Hockey League that you have enough talent to go out there and win a Stanley Cup. Chris Drury was put in place to put this organization over the top. In essence, he failed. And now it's part of a kind of a rebuild, so to speak. 138, Melusa's with you. 888-808-1019.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Let's head out to Seymour, Connecticut. It's Dave. It's the fan. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, brother. I want to talk to Sean. I mean, what does he expect from Evan?
Well, Sean's going to be on the air at 2 o'clock. I don't know. What do you mean, what does he expect from Evan? I just asked if they exchanged gifts.
I thought I was just listening to him saying that Evan gives broken gifts and is cheap and doesn't do anything for anyone.
No, he gave him, I mean, Dave, he gave him a sign. I mean, and Pete's eyes just like lit up when Dove and I told him, like, that sign he gave him, I mean, that's a legit gift. I don't care where he found it. I mean, if you're a Yankee fan, you remember going to the old ballpark in the Bronx and the bars. I mean, that sign, that if I'm thinking about the same sign that he had, that he got, the Budweiser Yankee logo with the mitt and the ball, like, that is a epic sign. I mean, there are a lot of Yankee fans that would move heaven and earth in order to put that sign up in their house. I mean, that is a great sign. That's worth a ton of money. But thanks for the call, Dave. Appreciate it. Brewster, Tony, the fan. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, how are you, Mark?
Good, Tony.
Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it. I want to chime in on this controversy over being a Giant and Jets fan simultaneously. Let me preface my conversation by saying I'm just turned 80, and I grew up
Happy
with
the birthday.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that very much. But I grew up with the 50 Giants, and needless to say, those were the glory years through the 50s and then mid-60s. And along came this league, this second league, if you want to call it that, a team by the name of the Titans, playing in the Polo Grounds in front of 5,000 people. My high school played on Sundays, and we used to outdraw them. Bottom line is that they had NY on their helmet, and I immediately adopted them. It's like having a second kid, so to speak. As the years went on, needless to say, Namath came along and captured everybody's heart. And to make a long story short, to this day, I still root for both of them because, like I said, and you could appreciate this, you have two sons, I believe.
Three.
Yeah, wow, God three bless you.
Thank you.
Do they all play hockey at the same time? Then you're really in trouble.
No. They're all over the place. That's why we're in real trouble. So they.
I'm a hockey dad. My guy's 40. He's still playing. So
that's great. Yeah, there's nothing like youth hockey.
Well, they always need goalies. Let's put it that way.
That's true.
But getting back to my situation, to this day, I root for both of them. And the obvious question is, when they both play each other, what do? I pour myself 3 inches of Maker's Mark. I sit on the couch, and I just enjoy the game. So you can do both. At least in my opinion, you can. I've been called to task on that numerous times. But
Tony, I think you're more an outlier. I got to be honest with you. Like, if the Jets and the Giants play, Tony, who do you root for? Like, when Victor Cruz caught that 99-yard touchdown. Against the Jets, right? Did you celebrate or did you?
Well, in that case, what I usually do is who needs the game more, or what's the situation? That's how I rationalize it in my mind.
Well, I understand, and you know, and listen, God bless, man. You're 80. You know, you're sitting back, relaxing, pouring your Maker's Mark, and enjoying a little football, and you root for both the Jets and the Giants. I think it's hard to be a fan of both teams. I really do. I remember when Joe Beningo used to give Jody Mack all kinds of slack because Jody would be a Jets and a Cowboys fan. And Joe would be like, that's impossible. You're a fan of one or the other. You can't be a fan of both. Well, you got an AFC and an NFC team. No, that's nonsense. So, like, I get the idea of being a New York sports fan. But ultimately, when the two teams play, well, who are you more emotionally connected to? Instead of giving me, well, it's just a good game. I'm rooting for a good game. Let's head out to, but I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for the call. Good perspective. Tim in Cranberry Lake, New Jersey. Beautiful part of the country. What's going on, Timmy?
Hey, Mark. Just want to say really appreciative that you took my call today. I'm a huge New York Mets fan, and more specifically, a huge Jeff McNeil fan. Jeff McNeil, by far my favorite player of all time. I have two Jeff McNeil jerseys. I think, personally, I'm speaking for maybe 5% of Mets fans here when I say Jeff McNeil is a godsend to a baseball team. Any baseball team should be grateful to have Jeff McNeil on their team.
Right.
He can play any position on the field outside of pitcher and catcher. He's won a batting title. He's a two-time All-Star. I think this is a really terrible move for the Mets organization. I obviously understand that we needed to get rid of McNeil, obviously with the overhaul of the team and the addition of a guy like Polanco. And you know,
if you understand it. See, I'd be upset about something if I didn't understand it. The Met fan that is upset about Alonso, they don't understand it, especially when Stearns is talking about the fact that he needs to add more right-handed power. And you're like,
wait, hold on a second.
You just let a guy that was a 30-plus home run guy every single year leave for money and a long-term commitment from the Orioles. So you can't understand the move and then be upset about it. I get your love for Jeff McNeil. I don't know if I necessarily have that kind of same affection for the player leaving the building. You know, I think he could obviously rub some people the wrong way. I liked him more as the hitting champ than the hitter that he developed into. So it didn't work. And I think the Mets are looking at it, not a matter of addition by subtraction. I think they just wanted to change the dynamic that was going on in that clubhouse on a day in, day out basis to go along with now. Stearns has got to go out there and replicate the production that has now been lost. And he's also now got to address the starting pitching as well.
Definitely agree with that. I was more upset with the return we got. I thought we could have at least gotten, you know, a major league ready arm or, you know, somebody with at least a little bit of major league experience to have an immediate impact on the team.
I got you. Well, I mean, you got a 17-year-old that is reportedly a fireballer who, I think pitched to an under 3 ERA down in the minor leagues this past season. That's got a high amount of upside, but is probably years away. I mean, to me, that's what you got back, and you had to send a little salary, a little payroll, a little money out there to the Athletics as well. Let's head out to Lenox, Mass. It's Robbie. What's going on, Robbie?
I was going to say, I was laughing when you were talking about the hockey trips and about the NHL. I started to think of the movie Slapshot, and I'm going, the Melusis brothers on the ice. I'm like, the peanut butters are standing up to them. You know, remember the guys? Like, these brothers are stomping all over the ice. I could just see the three of them as a line combination, like the, I was thinking of the Stasny brothers. So,
It would be amazing if we were lucky enough for that. But I'm just, Don and I are just, we enjoy watching them play. It's fun.
That's funny because I heard you said you were cooking, right? She never learned to cook, right? Anyway, I'll send something to the station for you. I got some artwork, so I'll throw it in the mail for you sometime, buddy. But I just wanted to say seriously, though, of all the shows over the years, and I've been a listener to Call for 38 years and doing radio back and forth like I've been doing like around, you know, the last, you know, 30 plus years. Your show and Joe's and Steve's have been my favorite, and Tony. Just you guys really care about the callers. I've been on other stations where you get two minutes and you wait 2 hours, but I appreciate it. So here's the deal. I mean, this Ranger team, we talked about like crazy, but I would trade Igor Shesterkin. I would trade Igor. If he decides he wants to waive his clause, that's the guy I want to trade in Panarin. That's the assets they're going to get back, because to me, a team like Colorado that's built to win now could use a guy like Igor. It's not like Princeton could use a guy like Joel. You know what, Mark? You know what? The Colorado could use a guy like Igor. Because let's face it, you really think the Avalanche have the best goaltending? I mean, Wedgwood's been good. I call them the Wood Brothers. But, I mean, those guys, do you think those guys are worthy of winning a cup?
Why hire Sullivan then?
Because to me, the question is Sullivan really good with young players? Look at this team. The thing is, like, I've been talking to hockey people, and the Rangers really don't have anything, Mark, right now at the minor league level. They've bought up what they have. Everybody else is either young or not developed. And I've told you, the biggest problem, and you can go back to the days when I was a kid, a Roger Bear and a gag line, and it was beautiful watching all the old players come out a few weeks ago. I was getting goosebumps. I probably watched that 10 times. But, I mean, it's like, they've never been able to develop players. And you have to go back to Alexei Kovalev, Brian Leetch, and Hank Lundqvist, maybe, as anybody that this organization ever drafted, developed in the minor leagues. They're always panicking. Look what's going on now. Perreault is up. They're going to ruin Perreault. Chris Drew, what is he going to do? He doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, they've made the team older. They've made the team slower. They've made the team more expensive. I mean, to me, Dolan's like, well, we don't want to do a rebuild. I know you had mentioned that at one point. They don't want to do a rebuild. But you have to at this point. This core is done. It's like the Mets. Now, you know, and I just want to say something about Jeff McNeil. Look, Jeff McNeil might have been a David Ball player, okay? But the guy was like Ethan Hawke with a handle.
Well, Robbie, right? You know what? You're getting appreciation. And Robbie, thanks a lot for the call, man.
Thanks, buddy. You got it. Merry Christmas, buddy.
You got it. Merry Christmas. And it gets you an appreciation for, you know, what Neil Smith did in 94, putting the team over the top and going above and beyond when you have that opportunity. And there was no doubt. I mean, that cup window for the Rangers was open there for a couple years. And unfortunately, you know, the moves that Drury made did not, and I understand we're in a salary cap world. I get it, in the National Hockey League. But the moves that he made didn't work. You know, the big miss was when, you know, bringing in, and like that, bringing in Kane from Chicago, and then getting there and basically getting skated off the ice by the speed of the New Jersey Devils in that opening round series. And there have been misses. I mean, that's it. And now you have to deal with the aftermath of that. And you're watching a team right now that is some of the, you know, veteran talent is a little up there in the age. They've regressed and they're not necessarily as offensively dynamic as they once were. And some of the younger players, there's limitations to what they are. Dove, Pete, fantastic job. Love both of you. That does it for us. Thank you for all the calls for the last 4 hours. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. I'll be back with you Friday. So for all those that are celebrating, Merry Christmas. Enjoy it. Have a happy and healthy holiday. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Stay safe on the roadways. Keep it locked right here. Sean and Tiki, come your way next right here. Where else? The Fan in New York.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
WFAN, New York. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.